The retirement and IRA show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salner & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Salner & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
Welcome to This Week on the Retirement and IRA Show, EDU edition, as we educate you on one particular topic, going a little bit deeper, sometimes very deep, compared to our Q&A show that you may also be familiar with and are hopefully a regular listener for that, where we answer your questions via email or phone calls. On the EDU show, which is this one, we're going to pick one topic, topic of today, Roth conversion season. So we're going to talk about all the ins and outs of making Roth conversions prior to the end of the current tax year. There is a deadline coming up. December 31st of this year, technically, and we'll talk about why you might want to do the conversion now, how you can get the conversion to count for this year, some things you can and cannot do. There's been some rule changes over the last year or two that affect your ability to do certain things with Roth conversions, so we're going to get into all that here on the Retirement and IRA Show EDU edition. My name is Chris Stein. I'm a certified financial planner and a finance instructor at Colorado State University. And I'm here with Jim Salner, also a certified financial planner. He's firing up his mic as we speak.
But not an instructor at Colorado State University.
Not currently an instructor at Colorado State University.
Not ever will be.
Not ever, okay.
Not just currently,
yeah, you
ever.
Never know.
I am way too busy. I don't have time to do anything.
In the twilight of your years.
I'll be in
maybe.
Kentucky.
Oh, so maybe.
Is there a satellite? Maybe I'll be at UK.
Yeah. That's a ways off, though. So.
Yes.
I'm still not convinced you're going to be heading to Kentucky in retirement, but that's a whole.
It's getting stronger and stronger, my man. Kentucky keeps winning in my.
Okay.
You're all this anti-humidity thing.
Oh, I am, because I hate that part. I'm not anti-Kentucky. Let's put that out there. I have nothing personal against Kentucky.
It's the humidity.
It's the humidity. I have a personal vendetta against humidity. Yes. I
but you realize it is that humidity that is going to make things grow.
Mm-hmm. And then we should ship them in from those places so that you can consume them in a much drier climate. That's my personal opinion.
Okay, but yes, I wanted to get to this topic because on previous shows, if you're a long-time listener, especially if you're a long-time listener going back to when this was just a show in Colorado on KFKA, 1310 KFKA out of Greeley, we used to do a show like this every single year, Chris. And in fact, we had that song. We don't have it today. I forget who sings it, but that guy sings it, that older singer from the 40s or 50s. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Remember that?
Yes, I do. I don't
who
remember
sings
using
that?
It for the Roth conversion show.
Yeah, because it's that time of year. It's the Roth conversion time of year.
I get it. Yeah.
Because conversions, folks, if you're trying to optimize tax brackets, so that's what we're talking. We're assuming all the numbers have been crunched. And conversions make sense. Let's just get that out of the way. We're not going to talk to you about how do you decide if you right. should convert. There's a lot more than just looking at marginal brackets.
Right. Today's show is going to be what
you've already
once
made that
you've
decision.
Decided
yes.
it's a good idea to convert. How are we going to make that happen this year? And there's been, unfortunately, some
changes
put on those of us who like to do these conversions.
Because in the past, this was easier than taking babies from candy from a baby.
Who are we going to take the baby from?
I started wrong. Okay. I corrected it. You can't.
Easier than I thought it was easier than pulling teeth from a baby.
That means when something's hard.
Version.
It's like pulling teeth from a baby means something's hard. At least in gymism, pulling teeth from a baby means it's hard.
Okay.
Taking candy from a baby
That's
means
easy.
It's easy.
Oh.
Got to get the swing of things.
Got it.
So in the past, Roth conversions was like taking candy from a baby. Today, it's like pulling teeth from a baby. and we'll get into why that is. But in the past, we had callers to the show, Chris, that, how should we convert? How much should we convert? How do I decide how much to convert? I got to get this all done before I convert. And we would say to them, I don't care how much you convert. Because in the past, folks, you could undo a conversion. And that's what we called it, undo. The government used to call it recharacterization. That's 19 letters. It's wicked long. Undo is only 4. That's a lot easier to remember.
Yeah. So just to clarify, the act of conversion hasn't changed at all. It's no more or less difficult than it was. The decision about how much to convert has now become far more critical.
Complex.
Because what Jim is mentioning is that the amount in the old days, last year and before,
going way back.
You could convert, as long as you converted at or above what you really thought your optimal amount would be, you could do that. You could convert excess amounts, knowing that you could easily undo the part that you determined later on, which April 15th of the following year is usually the date where you really know what you would have liked to have converted.
And you had till October 15th to undo it.
Right. So it's, and why is April 15th in there? Because that's when you're doing your taxes for the prior year. That's when you're figuring out, you know, where do I fit? Where did all my income sources put me as far as the brackets go? And gee, I wish I would have converted fill in the blank. The problem has always been the conversions have to be done by the end of the tax year to count in that tax year. Unlike your tax preparation, which is going to be done then in the following year by April 15th, if you're on time, or a contribution you can make retroactively. We all know that up until April 15th, you can make a contribution for the prior tax year. They gave you that flexibility, but they've never given you the flexibility of doing a retroactive conversion from a Roth, from a traditional to a Roth account. And so we kind of worked around that. We effectively granted ourselves permission to figure it out later by over-converting and then recharacterizing the amount that we wish we hadn't. Those days are over.
Yes.
We now have to do some very careful tax planning to then pull the trigger on actually doing the conversion. So that's the decision-making of how much we should convert has now become more critical. We're going to assume that's happened and you've decided, I want to convert X amount.
Right. And we have a strategy you can still employ. And that's what today's show is going to talk about. Because in the past, I had a brilliant metaphor for Roth conversions. And it was baking a cake. And the recipe called for a cup of flour. And my analogy was, when you needed a cup of flour, you didn't slowly take a teaspoon and start scooping flour out and trying to fill that measuring cup perfectly with a cup of flour, not going over at all, just getting it slowly filled, painstakingly doing it. It took a lot of time because you had to be careful you didn't spill the flour every time you stuck the teaspoon in. And you filled in that cup of flour and you measured it perfectly. And then you tipped it upside down, put it in the mixing bowl, and off you went. Hell no, that's not how we told you to do it. If you're baking a cake, you took that cup, you stuck it all the way in that cup of flour, you purposefully overfilled that cup, that flour is now sticking over the top, you then took a butter knife in your opposite hand and scraped that butter knife across that cup of flour, all that excess flour would just sprinkle down right back into the bag, and then you would have that perfectly measured, filled to the brim, Chris, one cup of flour. You would then pour that into your bowl and boom, off you went. That was a Roth conversion in the past. You would purposefully over-convert. You want to convert 10,000, you think, but you don't know if it should have been 12 or 10, or maybe it was only 8. You were unsure. Chris and I would jokingly say, convert it all. I had one client who literally did that. The biggest conversion of convert it all was $213,000, I think it was, or $223,000, and we ended up undoing nearly all of it. It was crazy.
Their accountant probably had a
conniption fit.
Yeah.
But we didn't care. I would say you think you might want to convert 10, but it could be as high as 15. Convert 30. And you would literally convert this massive amount, figure out how much you should have converted to perfectly fill that tax bracket. Because remember, you've already decided the conversion makes sense. Now we're trying to convert a certain amount. So you would convert that amount, undo the difference through a recharacterization, and boom, everything was done. It was easy. It was painless. We would just warn people, get it done before December 31st. Now, you cannot undo it anymore, Chris. So we are back to the way I first described measuring a cup of flour. You can no longer purposefully overfill that cup. What you have to do is take that smaller spoon and start painstakingly, Chris, scooping out the flour, being careful not to touch the corners of the bag or the side of the cabinet next to you, because that little teaspoon of flour will go flying everywhere and goes poof.
This metaphor is getting very detailed.
What I'm trying to show you is it's not easy anymore. If you couldn't purposefully overfill your measuring cup and use a butter knife to scrape the top, it's going to make filling that measuring cup a lot more difficult than it needs to be and that it used to be. If all of a sudden you can't simply overfill and scrape, well, that's where you are with Roth conversions. But there is, folks, a way around it. And that's what we're going to teach you today on the EDU show. Now, this strategy should not be tried at home without adult supervision. It's not, all jokes aside, it is not a strategy for lackadaisical people who don't follow timelines correctly, who tend to forget things and let things get away from them. It is a strategy that should only be undertaken by type A, anal retentive people. Huge attention to detail will definitely make sure things get done when they should get done. But it is a strategy, Chris, that can work. Because here's the problem, folks. Let's just say the math has been crunched. It makes sense to convert. And you are trying to convert within a bracket. We call that tax bracket optimization. And let's just pretend that the bracket we're doing is the 22% bracket. Is that, it could be the 12 or the 22, doesn't matter to me. But let's just say it's the 22% bracket, Chris. You want to convert assets but not leave the 22% bracket. Again, in the past, we would say, fill it all. Who cares? Just purposefully overfill that bracket. We'll figure it out later. Today, you actually have to start filling that measuring cup very slowly. So what you have to do, or what we strongly recommend you do, is conversions get done in December. And at the beginning of December is where you're going to start filling that measuring cup. Because by the beginning month of December, you know what, Chris? You know 11 months of what already?
Of your salary and what your tax situation is going to be, what your charitable donations have been, all the your tax situation is becoming.
You got 11 of the 12 months
clear at that point.
You have 11 of the 12 months.
Yep.
You're still missing the 12th month. And unfortunately, if you have a lot of non-qualified assets, and that's an industry term for those who don't know, a qualified asset generally in our industry refers to assets that qualify for special tax treatments, IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, and an IRA is not technically a qualified account by ERISA standards, but the industry calls them qualified. A non-qualified account would be a brokerage account. If you have a lot of assets in a brokerage account, those assets can be a tax nightmare in December, because most mutual funds pay out their year-end payments in December. Not the quarterly payments they made all year, But these year-end payments reflect all trading that was done in the mutual fund portfolio since January 1st. They can accrue all of the capital gains that they've made on trades in the portfolio. They can accrue a lot of interest, and some of them even accrue some of the interest and dividends if they don't pay it out on a more regular basis. And they start making payments in December. And if you have a lot of money in non-qualified accounts, you could get some pretty unexpected surprises in December with massive payments. Even in a down market, we saw that in 08 and 09, a lot of people were burned because the markets are crashing, funds were doing a lot of trading. And all that gain on any investment they had as they were trying to sell before the market fully tanked, all that gain has to get distributed in December.
By distributed, he means sometimes he's talking about two different things, actual distributions and actually handing out here's the record of your capital gains that you are subject to for taxation, even though you didn't get it.
Right. It could be reinvested. Right. That's why I'm saying a non-qualified account does not have special tax treatments. It doesn't matter if you get a massive dividend payout or capital gain payout in your funds inside an IRA. It's not taxable to you until you take it out. But if you get a massive distribution reinvested, you never got the cash, it was reinvested, but it's in a non-qualified account, a brokerage account, just a regular account you have, that's going to be a tax nightmare. You're going to get hit with a tax bill. Well, most of your funds, folks, will usually announce between now and December 15th what the estimated, it's not guaranteed, it's estimated, but it can be fairly close, estimated payments are going to be. So by time December rolls around, folks, we have 11 months of your salary and income. What we don't know is what the last month of December is going to pay you, if there's going to be any meaningful Christmas bonuses or profit sharing or mutual fund distributions or dividend payments that are going to come in December and really wreak havoc on anything you do. So even though we encourage people to wait to December before doing a conversion, you then have to start doing a few more steps. You now should start putting together an initial tax return. Now, granted, the new tax software hasn't come out. Most of them haven't come out in December. At least the retail ones haven't come out in December yet with all the tax law changes. But you can use the previous year's tax software and get fairly close with all the knowns you have, Chris, of how much you might be able to convert. But then you have to start making some assumptions on what your interest is going to be, dividends are going to be, capital gains distributions, bonuses, profit sharing, things like that. But you have to now start building in assumptions for those. Now, you can go again to the mutual fund websites and start getting ideas from them of what they're going to distribute to you in the month of December and start putting together maybe a fairly accurate, I wouldn't say overly deeply accurate, but fairly accurate assessment of what your tax liability for the year would be. But now it's December. It could be December 15th, December 20th by the time you have this all done. Not a whole hell of a lot of time of the year left, is it, Chris? Because of something that's jammed right in the middle of the month of December. Or right towards the end of the month of December. This little thing, I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's called Christmas. Have you heard of that? You familiar with that?
I'm vaguely familiar with that.
Yeah, it's called a holiday. And essentially, this fat guy with a beard goes around giving gifts to all kids. And fat guys without a beard and hardly any hair generally give their bosses skinny peppermint mocha lattes.
Really?
For Christmas, yeah.
That part I definitely hadn't heard.
You hadn't heard that?
No.
Yeah, look into it.
I bet that's only in other countries.
No, it's right in this country. It's really, really predominant in northern Colorado, specifically around Webby and Mulberry, around 506 East Mulberry.
Skinny what?
Peppermint mocha skinny latte.
Skinny peppermint mocha latte.
Yes, but only 2 pumps of mocha, 3 pumps of sugar-free peppermint.
No.
You got to get that pot right.
Okay.
And it's a triple decaf.
And decaf?
Oh, yeah. Decaf. Oh,
I wouldn't hold your hopes up to that.
You didn't hear about that Christmas?
No.
Oh, all right.
Sounds like a bizarre elf.
Bummer for me. But now what's happening because of the Christmas holiday, and then 7 days after Christmas is the New Year's holiday, not a lot of people are working. And that means it grinds to a halt. We always, always get folks from our custodians. Custodians are the companies that hold our client IRAs. And they're quite adamant, Chris, and I know their warning emails are going to be coming out shortly. If you do not have everything that needs to be done by December 31st, if you don't have it to them by December 15th, they will not guarantee it gets done by the 31st. So this is what the government has handed us for Roth conversions now, Chris. I already said we're not going to have all the info to really accurately predict the month of December until probably mid-month, if not longer. And sometimes you'll never know bonuses and profit sharing until the end of the month, your last paycheck. If that, you might not get your profit sharing until your December 31st paycheck, which comes 2 weeks later, to see what the company's paid you out. So you really don't have a lot of flexibility. We can get close. We have 11 of the 12 months of data to project what your taxable income will be, to project how much you're going to be able to convert to stay within the bracket you want to be in. But you would agree, Chris, it's not a very accurate number.
No, and that's what was so nice about those recharacterizations. Didn't have to be precise before the end of the year. Could figure it all out as you normally would during your tax preparation over the next 4 months. But
so what's
those days are over.
What's missing is really your last paycheck and all the interest and dividends that your investments are going to pay out and your bonuses. But you'll generally know all three of those, Chris, by the second week of January. Would you say that's reasonable?
Oh, I think so.
Well, there is a strategy that we want to share with you folks that will allow you essentially to undo your conversion right up to about mid to late February. Do you think that would be enough time for you, Chris, to figure out how much it should have been?
Not as good as April.
No?
But certainly better than December 31st.
Especially because December 31st, you cannot call up your IRA on December 31st and ask them to convert.
Nope.
Ain't going to happen. They're just going to laugh. You might as well just put the phone down. You want to ever listen to a laugh track? Call up your IRA custodian on December 31st and say you would like to convert your IRA to a Roth IRA effective today. And then just put the phone on speakerphone and listen to the laugh track. Because that person is going to be laughing his or her hiney off. I know I would if I was working there. I don't quite know how long I'd have my job, but I would be, you got to be kidding me, right? Here's the issue, folks. The custodians are overly busy, and you can no longer undo it. But there is another strategy, and it's called a 60-day rollover. Let's just cut to the chase. Let's cut the mustard, or is it cut the cheese, or is it both?
Cutting the cheese is not something I want to be in the room for when you do that.
All right, so let's cut the mustard. They said that on the guy there who does that consumer show on that one of those Denver channels. He says, today we're going to cut the mustard on replacement windows. I never heard that saying.
It's not a not a frequently used statement, but it's out there.
Okay.
Are you going to combine it with something?
Well, yeah, I just said cut the cheese, but I realized that's not the same as cutting the mustard.
No, those are different. Yes.
But I don't know how you cut mustard, because mustard is very, I mean, it's in squeezable jars. It comes out and you just squeeze it on your hot dog. I don't really know how you cut that. Cheese is hard.
No, I get it. I think cut it is when you cut something, that also means you are diluting it.
We're going to dilute the mustard?
Could be. Maybe it's too strong.
No, he said we're going to cut the mustard on replacement windows and doors. Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Anyways, what we're trying to explain is, in its most simplistic form, Chris, when does a Roth conversion take place?
The day the distribution happens.
Thank you. Took you forever to come up with that.
I was reading Cut the Mustard.
Oh, what does it say?
Means come up to expectations. Like when you cut the mustard. That the way you described him using it would not have been appropriate. So maybe he's using a Jimism.
I don't think he's using a Jimism.
As in, I didn't cut the mustard as a hockey player. That means you didn't
live up to expectations.
You weren't up to snuff.
You weren't up to snuff. And it cut the mustard. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess cut the mustard wasn't what we were saying or what I should have said here.
Cut the cheese.
But follow my rationale here, folks. A Roth conversion happens when the money leaves the IRA, not when it gets put into a Roth IRA. And because of that, I have a way, those of you who want to convert but are worried about trying to figure it all out, I have a strategy that's going to make this a little bit easier for you. You still want to wait till December because you have 11 of your 12 income months known. So you only have 1 month left, but it happens to be a month where so many variables in income come into play. Bonuses, profit sharing, interest distributions, capital gains distributions, salary. There's a lot of things that come into play. But you can get pretty close in estimating what you think you might earn. And let's just say, Chris, you think you're going to earn $130,000 between you and your wife. And you want to convert within a certain bracket, and that means you can convert, I'm just making these numbers up, $180,000. And you feel adamant, or you can declare up to $180,000 of income is what I'm saying. You can get $180,000 income before getting pushed into a higher bracket. And you think you're going to earn $130,000. So you might be sitting there saying, well, I can convert $50,000. Mm-hmm. But you're unsure because you know, if you turn around and convert $50,000 and then get a $10,000 bonus, you just got pushed $10,000 into the next bracket. Mm-hmm. And you're going to lose a lot more of that bonus than you would have if you didn't convert. And there's no more getting that toothpaste into the tube. Once you convert, it's out. That toothpaste is out. It's done. It's there. You can't put it back in. So don't do the conversion as a trustee-to-trustee transfer. Because if you do it as a trustee-to-trustee transfer, you can no longer recharacterize or undo a Roth conversion. You can recharacterize a contribution. You can recharacterize a Roth contribution to an IRA, to a traditional IRA, but that's not the case here. This is a conversion. So do the conversion as a 60-day rollover. So again, back to my analogy. You think you're going to have $130,000 of income. You think you're willing to go as high as $180,000. You're just not quite sure $130,000 is totally accurate. You could just convert to play it safe instead of $50,000, convert $30,000, $35,000, $40,000. Mm-hmm. And what's the biggest risk you run there, Chris? You don't convert enough.
You have unfilled bucket.
Unfilled bucket. Yeah. You didn't convert enough. You could take a chance and go a little bit over and hope your math wasn't done right, or say to yourself, well, I know there's going to be some excess. I'll just pay higher taxes on that than I was planning. Or you can do it as a 60-day rollover. So let's say you took money out of your IRA, Chris, on December 15th. You took the $50,000 out on December 15th. What day did the Roth conversion happen?
if you complete it December 15th.
Even if you don't complete it. Well, yeah, if you got the distribution. If they actually sent you the money on December 15th, it happened on December 15th. So the conversion happens when the distribution occurs. The distribution occurs when the money is sent from the IRA and is distributed from the IRA, and you receive it. So it might not quite receive, well, unless they did like electronic deposit. Let's just make this real easy. So you had it set up with an ACH and you called them on December 15th and they electronic and you had the cash in the account. You didn't have to make any trades. And on December 15th, the custodian put $50,000 in your bank account, Chris. The conversion happened that day, correct? December 15th.
Correct.
Okay. But now, folks, instead of putting that money into an IRA, you leave it in the bank because the government actually gives you 60 days to put it in a Roth or put some or all of it in a traditional IRA as a tax-free rollover, or put half in the Roth, half in the traditional, or all in the Roth, or all in the traditional, or anything in between 1% in one and 99% in the other. And you have 60 days counting holidays, weekends, so not 60 business days. So it would essentially be from December 15th to February 15th. Not quite that. You have to count 60. But you get the picture, folks. You have 60 days to figure this all out. And let's just say, Chris, it turns out that you shouldn't have converted $50,000. You should have only converted $20,000. Now you have 60 days. Don't wait to the last day. But at some point, I would assume by the first or second week of January, you pretty much have all the income you need to get fairly close on your Roth conversion assumption. And again, if the correct amount was that you wanted to convert 20, was it 20 or 30? That was the correct amount in my, did I say? Or were you not paying attention?
20,000.
20. So if you wanted to convert 20, you then direct 20,000 from your bank account to a Roth IRA. You just send the custodian a check made out right to the Roth, and you write in the memo, 2018 Roth conversion. I would also include a letter of instruction saying, hey, this is a Roth conversion that took place on December 15th, 2018. It is a 2018 conversion. Please put this money in my Roth IRA. And then you send another check for $30,000, because remember, you took out $50,000, folks. You send the next $30,000, same thing, via a check. But in the memo, you write 2017 IRA rollover. So you are converting the $20,000 that went into a Roth, but you are rolling over the $30,000 that goes back into the IRA. I would also include a letter of instruction to the IRA custodian with that as well, saying, hey, this $30,000 represents a 60-day rollover I did in 2017. I would actually give them the day you did it as well. Not that they need that, but I would put it in the letter. And as long as that money, that $30,000 gets into your IRA within 60 days, you have absolutely no tax liability on that $30,000. Even though you took it out and it was in your bank account, as long as that money gets into a traditional IRA within 60 days, no taxes. Now, the $20,000 that went into your Roth IRA as a conversion, there will be taxes owed on that, but you knew that already going into this, folks. So even though it doesn't work, this strategy, Chris, as perfectly as the way we used to do it when you had till April 15th, and you could do it with one sheet of paper as a recharacterization, you kind of got two different things. You need two different checks, two different letters of instruction. But I feel strongly most people can figure out how much to convert with a 60-day window that they're working with. And if it turns out you shouldn't have converted anything, you got the mother of all bonuses, which is what most of our workers here get. Excuse me? Surely you had a choke in your throat, a tickle in your throat.
It's pretty hilarious. The show's just that, the whole skinny latte request was pretty hilarious as well. Like anybody could follow that order. Three pump, two shot, decaf,
triple
extra whipped cream.
Triple decaf, yeah. Three pump peppermint, two pump mocha, non-fat, no whip, no chocolate curl latte.
Okay, you're becoming a Starbucks joke. Seriously.
Anyways, back to what I'm getting at, folks. This is a strategy to buy more time to optimize on a conversion. Now, massive things can go wrong with this strategy, could they not, Chris?
It could.
Why don't you say the biggest thing that can go wrong if you've already done a rollover? You're only allowed one per 365 days. So be very careful that you have not done a rollover. Here's where it gets tricky. If all the money goes into the Roth IRA, then that wasn't a rollover. It was a conversion, and you could do one a day.
Right. You can do as many of those as you want. Every
in day. A year. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. It's the, in my example, the $30,000 that went into the IRA, that's a rollover. So you can only do one rollover a year. But a Roth conversion done as a rollover is not a rollover. It's a conversion. So the $20,000 that went into the Roth is not a rollover. That's why you're not falling foul, Chris, to the one rollover per year. The money going into the Roth is not a rollover. It is a conversion. It's the money that went into the IRA that's the rollover. So if you took the money out on December 15th, 2018, put the money back in, say, January 15th, 2019, and it worked flawless, and you want to do the strategy again in December of 2019, and you call up your IRA custodian on December 10th, 2019 and ask them to send you a check for $50,000, what just happened?
You've done more than one in a 365-day period. However, if you wait until after December 15th, say December 16th, now you've
can
made
do it
just
again.
By the a whisker
you
there.
You have to go 300 and more than 365 days.
Right.
So on the 366th day, which would be one day after the previous year's conversion, you do this all over again. So you have to remember, and this is one reason you don't want to essentially do the conversion on December 30th. You don't want to do it on the 30th or the 31st for a few reasons. Mostly that the custodian is just going to laugh his ass off at you. There's no way they're going to get it done that soon. But also, if you did it on the 30th or the 31st, that's cutting it real close because the following year, you have to wait one more day. So if you did it on the 31st, you can't do a conversion the following year for that tax year or the 60-day rollover because you got to wait one more day. So we suggest around the middle of December, around December 15th to 20th, if you're going to do a series of these, if you're only going to do it once for some opportunity planning that you have, you might have a very large tax deduction one year, so you're thinking of being able to convert a lot. And this strategy will work wonderful in these situations. We have clients who sometimes have very big medical expenses, Chris, and they know they're going to get a very big deduction, or they donated a heck of a lot of money to charity in one year and they got a huge deduction. So they're thinking, I want to be able to get a lot of this money converted. But again, I don't know how much income I'm going to get. I don't know what my taxes are going to look like. Well, one strategy, if you know you're only going to do it once, get the cash ready in your IRA account. In other words, if you're thinking you're going to take out $100,000, get $100,000 sold in cash, ready to go right at the end of the year, and then go ahead and convert by doing it as a rollover, calling up the custodian on December 24th or 26th or 28th or 29th and say, hey, send me a distribution of $100,000. The money's in cash inside my account already. And they'll send it out to you. And then you can figure everything else out and roll the rest of the money back in within 60 days. It's not perfect because if you miss the 60 days, all that money is now distributed. Mm-hmm. You can't get it back in the IRA. It's out.
And it's all taxable.
Mm-hmm. There's no one doing it. There's a 10% early withdrawal penalty if you're under the 59 and a half. So I said this is a strategy. Do not try at home without adult supervision. If you are forgetful, if you're lackadaisical, if you don't have a good attention to detail.
It's lackadaisical. I let the first one go, but you said it again. Lackadaisical.
You just love picking on me. I'm on a roll, man.
I'm helping you. I'm helping you refine your speech pattern.
What do I call it?
Lackadaisical.
And what do you call it?
Well, the rest of the world calls it lackadaisical.
Lackadaisical?
Mm-hmm.
Not lackadaisical?
Negative. I let the first one go. See, I granted.
When did I do the first one?
Earlier in the show.
Did I?
Yes. And people, our listeners, were saying, Chris, why didn't you say something? I'm now saying it.
Why, thank you.
I give him one pass, but when it comes out again.
Whatever. So I don't even know where I was before Chris picked up on my...
If you're the type of person who isn't going
lackadaisical,
to... Lackadaisical,
right. Whatever. If you forget what to do.
Right. If you procrastinate.
Yes, that's a better one.
Good thing.
Because I can say procrastination. Mm-hmm. So if you are that person, this strategy might not be for you because it's very easy to muff up. But the whole takeaway of it, folks, don't overanalyze. Don't panic. Don't... Oh my God, this is going to be so hard to figure out. Get as close as you can, and you should be able to get fairly close by the first or second week of December. Plan, okay, I'm going to do $30,000, $20,000, $15,000, $12,000, $8,000. Whatever it comes out, whatever that number comes out to, I'd go a little bit higher just to give yourself that extra room. And right around the 15th, 16th, 17th of December is when I would take it as a distribution. Just call them up and say, send me a check. And the 60-day clock begins when you receive the check. Now, we've talked about that in the past. What if you called them up on the 15th, Chris, and didn't tell them to electronically deposit it? You say to them, mail me a check.
You could buy yourself a little more time.
Well, I'll walk you through a quiz. So you call them on the 15th, and let's just say that's a Friday, and you say, send me a check. So the 15th of December is you call them. Mm-hmm. They send it to you, not on the 15th, because that's a Friday. They send it to you on the 18th is when they cut the check. Mm-hmm. It gets mailed on the 19th. You receive it on the 20th. Mm-hmm. But you left on the 19th or the 20th and never checked your mail because it's almost Christmas and you're flying to your friend's house with a decaf triple three-pump peppermint two-pump mocha non-fat no whip no dark chocolate curl latte as a Christmas gift and you stay with your friend until New Year's Day, you fly home, you check your mail, January 2nd, 2019, and there's your check. Mm-hmm. Now what just happened? How much time do you have?
Well, you have 60 days from January 2nd when you check the mail to get the money back into wherever it's going to be the destination. The conversion still happened on the 18th of December when they cut the check. If you, for the monies that you end up converting, if you put it all back as a rollover, then there was that undoes, if you will. It's not a recharacterization, but it essentially doesn't consummate the conversion. If you decide you change your mind and you just put it all back in a traditional IRA, but any amount that you end up converting by putting it into a Roth by 60 days from January 2nd, which isn't exactly March 2nd, because you got to count the number of days in a month. It's exactly 60 days, but you've got an extended period because you went on vacation, didn't check your mail. That's a bizarre rule.
It's bizarre.
But it's on the books. That's exactly how it works.
Absolutely. The conversion happens the day the money leaves the IRA. IRAs are not bank accounts. So it's not like a checking account where you write a personal check and mail it, but the check doesn't get cashed for 30 days. Or with me, with some of the checks you've sent me, Chris, I don't cash at all. And then I find them months later. That money hasn't left your checking account until I cash it or sheeplessly hand it to you and say, can you send me another check? I never cashed this check. But IRAs are different. When you call them, even though the money never really leaves your IRA, if they send you a check on that IRA, they debit it from the IRA at that time. Even if you don't cash the check, it's debited out. So the conversion happens when the money leaves your IRA. But the 60-day clock doesn't begin to affect the rollover or the conversion. If you're putting the money in a Roth or a traditional IRA, that'll decide if it's a rollover or a conversion. That 60-day clock doesn't start until you physically touch the money. If it's a check and you don't touch it, that 60 days can be a lot longer than 60 days. Now, I'm not advocating you don't check your mail for the entire month of January, but if you can prove you never physically got the check, you've got a long time to actually get the money into a Roth and actually get the remaining money into a traditional IRA. So this is just a strategy that you all might be able to use to give you yourself a little more time to figure out exactly how much you should be converting. You're not going to be able to stick that cup of flour in that big flour bag, pull out that scoop, and jam that butter knife across the top. But it is going to give you some flexibility. It's kind of the same. You're going to be able to scoop. It's just not going to be as easy. And you don't have as much time to scrape that butter knife across that cup of flour. You're going to have to get that butter knife scraping within 60 days. But not 60 days of the day the money left the IRA. 60 days from the day you actually touched the check or received the check inside your bank account. So if it's electronically deposited into your bank account, which is what most people do nowadays, Chris,
you don't have that extra float.
You don't have the extra time. But if you ask it to be mailed to you, and God forbid it got lost in the mail and your custodian didn't have a tracking number and has no idea where that check is, which is what most custodians do, and you swear up and down on your grandmother's grave, you didn't get that check until the second week of January. That's when it was just all of a sudden in your mailbox. It's like the mailman found it and boom, there it was. Gosh, if that happened to you, Chris, now, of course, there's no way the IRS could ever prove or disprove that. So it would be your word and they'd have to accept it. But and of course, no one would ever make that up and just say, hey, I didn't get this check until January. I don't think anyone would ever do that. But if it happened, that theoretically is how it would work. Not that anyone would ever do that. So you have 60 days to figure out everything, put the money you want into the IRA, put the money you want into the Roth. Next year, do it all over again, just one day after the previous year's distribution. So not the day you call. If you call the IRA on the 15th, but they don't affect that money out of your account until the 18th.
You've got to wait till the 19th.
The 19th.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Anything else you want to add on just kind of a way to do a Roth conversion with a little bit more time to figure out your taxes before you're locked into how much you can convert, since you can never undo them again?
No, I think it's a good way to have kind of this backup cushion for those people who are trying to more precisely convert a specific amount. For most people, they're not going to be that concerned with it. They're going to be converting smaller amounts. So I don't want, want everyone to think that it's as complicated as what Jim just described.
No, if you know you want to convert $5,000, just convert
it. Right? It's converted. You don't have to worry about this timing issue. You don't. The only there's unlimited conversions, so you don't have to worry about the one per year issue. That's just for rollovers staying within the traditional accounts to prevent people from taking loans, and that's why that's that rule is in there. So yeah, regular conversions for the most part are pretty straightforward. It's those of you who want that extra cushion. This 60-day technique can buy you the time you need to figure out your tax situation, so that you can more precisely fill that tax bracket bucket,
and figure out if you really want to convert.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if I want to convert. If I get a bonus, I really would like to convert because I'll have the money to pay the taxes. But I don't know if I'm going to get a bonus. Right. Well, there's the perfect thing. Just do it. We'll figure it out. And next year, we'll decide where the money goes. Okay. So you have some flexibility. You got 60 days or more if the post office is really slow in delivering your mail.
Perfect.
All right.
Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us here on the Retirement and IRA Show EDU edition. We want to remind everybody that we are living, breathing financial planners here in Northern Colorado. We work with clients all over the country, though. We can deal with folks over the phone, over the internet, some combination of those two things. Sometimes people come out and visit us, actually. That has happened from time to time. But we're more than happy to see if we can assist you in any of the ways that you might find you need some help on a Roth conversion, like we're mentioning here, from tax planning purposes to do staged conversions over time. We haven't talked about the tax planning window, which goes hand in hand with these Roth conversions for a lot of people. But if you have questions on those or any other retirement topics, we encourage you to go to our website, jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. On there, you'll find a contact form. You can either send us a question, or you can even sign up for our complimentary initial meeting called a coffee and a second opinion, where we'll talk to you over the phone. Generally, you're welcome to come in if you're local, but generally talk to you over the phone, talk about your needs, what questions you're looking for answers, and talk to you about how we might provide services to help you out in your retirement planning needs.
Well put.
Anything else, Jim?
I think you pretty much summed it up. Perfect. But thank you for attending this EDU show for education, where we dig deep into a certain topic. Next week, we're going to dig deep probably into an IRA topic that I want to cover from the Ed Slott Show. And next week on the Retirement and IRA Show will be the return of Pete Pot 2.
Very nice.
Pete's coming back. He's going to answer. We got three or four email questions on estate planning and legalese
That'll
topics.
Be on our
Q&A show. Pete's going to come in and answer, I believe it's four questions on estate planning and a couple of legalese shows. So that'll be next week. So
perfect. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll be back with you next week with that brand new show.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Solnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Solnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.